the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. And of course, you can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Attention, attention, Express Cash, the Barbados Lottery's fastest game in town, now has an even bigger rollover jackpot. The rollover jackpot is now over $261,500. That's right, $261,500. It's so easy to play Express Cash. Visit your local lottery agent and ask for a quick pick ticket or fill out a slip to play your favorite numbers. So play Express Cash, the fastest game in town, drawing every 5 minutes at Barbados Lottery agents island-wide.
And we really want to thank Barbados Lottery for their sponsorship of Mason and Guests. They've been with us for several years now, and we really want to thank you very much indeed. Now, let's talk, of course, West Indies in New Zealand. Well, in the T20 matches that were played, there were actually supposed to be three, but we had two, and the last one rained out, the West Indies losing the first two, therefore losing the series. And tonight on Mason and Guests, we will certainly do an assessment of the West Indies side. And also as well, we turn our attention to the test match, which starts tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock local time. 6 o'clock local time, so that's tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Of course, New Zealand's 17 hours ahead. And if you are in Jamaica, the land of wood and water, it starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, your time. And without any further ado, we're going to go to New Zealand and speak to the lead selector, Roger Harper. Roger, how are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you, Andrew. Good evening to everyone.
All right. What time is it now in New Zealand, can you tell me?
It's 11:18 in the morning.
All right.
On Wednesday.
All right. And I'm sure you've had your early morning jog and all that. What's the weather like there in New Zealand?
Well, it's a bright, sunny, and relatively warm day today. It has been pretty cold going so far, but today is a bright, sunny, and warm day here in Hamilton.
Okay, wonderful. And it's good that the lead selector is there. I'm very happy that you're there to see your men. Let's first start, Roger, with the T20. What went wrong? The West Indies lost.
Well, the bowling was disappointing, frankly. You know, we failed to defend 76 runs in Auckland in 16 overs. And again, we more or less bowled ourselves out of the second T20 at the Bay Oval. You know, we gave 238 really is far too many runs in a T20 game. I thought even on a good track, it was a big outfield, but the ball was traveling quickly through the air there. And you know, if we had managed to limit it to 200, I think would have been very competitive. But 238, you know, was quite a bit too many.
Mm. I mean, you said the bowling was disappointing. Could you expand on that? Length and line's not good at all?
Well, I think length and line and execution at crucial times. I think bowling at the death, you know, has been a bugbear. And you know, it showed here again. Of course, you know, you're missing some of the experienced players here. And one of the specialists, especially bowling at the death in someone like a Dwayne Bravo, but that's no excuse. I think we've had guys here who have been, you know, playing at this level, playing in leagues around the world, and, you know, should be better equipped to do this sort of job. And I think they, you know, didn't manage to execute in either game.
Mm-hmm. Some people are saying, and perhaps with some justification, that the fielding could have been better.
Guys here who have been, you know, playing at this level, playing in leagues around the world, and, you know, should be better equipped to do this sort of job, and I think they you know, didn't manage to execute in either game.
Mm-hmm. Some people are saying, and perhaps with some justification, that the fielding could have been better.
Oh, especially in the second game, I think. You know, we were shoddy in the field. Mm-hmm. You know, but that too. But our bowling in particular could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Were you happy with the batting generally?
Well, I think the first game, you know, we found we started off like a runaway train, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really dug a hole for ourselves. We lost 5 wickets for 1 run or something like that. And I think Captain Pollard and Fabian Allen managed to put together a partnership that got us into a very competitive situation. I think at the end of 16 overs, 180 runs, you know, we would have thought it was very competitive. And I think in response, bowling as well, we started very well. We picked up a number of wickets.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, you know, we couldn't really contain the New Zealanders.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ford?
And, you know, no balls, extras, high full tosses, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. All that contributed to our downfall.
Mm. Dr. Ford, good evening to you. Your good friend Roger Harper is very much in New Zealand, yes.
Good evening, Roger. And good evening, Andrew, and to the listeners. I hope you can hear me this evening.
Yes, we're Andrew. Hearing you. I think you,
Dr. Ford.
Yes, I think you paid your bill finally, Doc.
Yes. Roger, we had a CPL on slow, low pitches. We've gone to New Zealand. We've been also watching Australia versus India as well. And from watching that series and even from watching the West Indies versus New Zealand, as far as bowling is concerned, it's clear that you need really quick bowling with good short balls and also the ability to move the ball or to swing the ball. In terms of the spinners, you really need a very good leg break bowler or a left armer that can turn the ball. Based on these observations and the fact that Cottrell and Thomas were the only two bowlers to go for under 10 and over, do you think that the structure of the team for the Cricket World Cup needs to be looked at? Some revamping is necessary?
Well, I think, Doc, you know, we picked the best players we have available. And while ideally when you look at some of the other teams and look at the type of skills that are succeeding, you know, we'd say, yes, this is what has been successful in T20 cricket, and we'd like to have that. We can only work with what we have at the moment. And I think what we're asking the players that we have is to execute as well as is required in the given situations. And I think, you know, we're coming up short on a number of occasions, especially bowling at the death.
Mm. But looking at the bowling, otherwise, when you look at the Pollard and you look at a Williams and you look at a Powell, you're looking at slow, medium bowlers who just use a change of pace. And having all three of those players in one lineup, do you think that's the ideal format that we should have playing in these conditions?
Well, I think the names you called there, you're not looking at those guys to bowl you for any of them to bowl a full 4 overs. If they're bowling well and they're getting away with it, they may bowl a few more than expected. But I think you're looking to get maybe 4 overs out of all of them together, right? But you expect your main bowlers to be able to deliver. And that is the challenge. I think, you know, a lot of our main bowlers are the ones going for more runs. I think Powell bowled his 1 over for 9 runs, you know? So while your seasoned specialist bowlers are going for, you know, a higher rate than that, so we got to do a lot better than that.
Who is one of your frontline bowlers? But I do take the point. But if you look at the use of those three players who are players who can bowl in that way, you look at the batting. Nobody scored over 35 except for Pollard scoring the 75 odd. So it suggests also that in the conditions that we'll be using for the World Cup next year, that we need to consider other personnel. The batting just didn't fire at all.
Well, Doc, that's an interesting point. But looking at our CPL, for example, can you suggest any personnel?
Well, Roger, that's one of the points I'm making. The CPL is kind of a nonsense for the preparation for a World Cup on a faster, in different conditions. I think that I understand the CPL is a private concern, but if it's being used to extrapolate a team for Australian conditions, I think the venue that was chosen was not the most appropriate venue. And then to take players from those conditions and to send them to Australian conditions, I believe this is manifested in the performance of the team. And unless we change the way the team is constructed as it is right now, I don't think we can do very well. Because as I said, you need a quality spin bowler, either a leg break. You need pace with good short balls and movement. And you actually need batsmen. But in to have a team that we had it, and have our leg break bowler not play except for the last match, and also to have so many bits and pieces guys in it, I think that we are heading for some difficulty.
Well, Doc, two things. You still to tell me where we're getting the players you're speaking of from. Mm-hmm. And secondly, conditions, you know, sometimes dictate the sort of players you use. In the first match, you would have realized was wet. We were on and off, and it was always a concern of rain. Even in the second game, that was a concern also, right? So, and you know, the first game too, apart from it being the threat of rain, also it was a relatively small ground, right? And you saw, you know, that was a big challenge for the spinner. So I think you have to give us some credit in that we're considering all these things when we select our team. But you're still to tell me where we're getting the players you're talking about from.
But Roger, we do have other players in the West Indies. I know you were limited by who you have sent there. But what the point I'm trying to get over to you is that it can't be business as usual to select a team for the Cricket World Cup in Australia. What I mean is that, yes, you can have Cottrell, yes, you can have Thomas, but you do need faster bowlers that can do stuff. Let's say even a Jason Holder, even though I recognize he's being rested, but I mean we need to look at a faster bowler. You can't have Keswick Williams, Rothman Powell. You can't have, along with the captain in one squad, I appreciate that you're saying that the older Bravo may be fit. I'm also saying that a lot of the personnel that we've taken to this tour, irrespective of our restrictions, I don't think they can make it to a squad for the World Cup.
Well, Doc, I understand and appreciate your thinking.
Yes.
And when we select teams, we look at all competitions around the world and see who's doing well. So all those things come into the consideration. So we're not limited by just looking at the CPL. Mm-hmm. You have to bear in mind, as I said, that you know, we can only pick from what's available. The CPL was one of the few, the only T20 competition that was played in these COVID conditions prior to us coming here prior to us selecting the team for New Zealand. As far as Jason Holder was concerned, you have to remember that this is a unique tour in a way, in that we had, you might have been aware that we had the test team playing a four-day first class game in preparation for the test match while the T20s were going on, right? And Jason Holder came from the IPL, like the other players, the other T20 players, went into lockdown. And so we thought it more important for the captain of our test team to be with his test squad for the four-day game, and he missed most of the first day, for that four-day game, become acquainted, get a feel for four-day cricket, rather than being part of the T20 squad. That's a sacrifice we had to make.
So Roger, you're saying... I just want to get in here, Doc. I know you're going to come in. So you're saying that Jason Holder was not considered for the T20 squad. Is that what you're saying?
He was not considered because we decided to focus his attention on the test squad because he's the test captain. Mm. And because of the limited time between the T20s and the test matches, considering that since England, he hadn't played any four-day cricket either. We thought it important that he be with the test squad that he was leading, as well as get a feel for four-day and the longer version prior to the test match.
Just before Doc comes in, but on reflection, given what he did before and what he did while the West Indies team would have been preparing for the T20s, he certainly went to the IPL and did well. You think it was a mistake not to have picked him?
Andrew, like I said, we made the decision that Jason, the captain of the test team, should focus on his role as leader of that test team. Okay. Get back in as early as possible, so he can lead that test team and get acquainted with the with four-day cricket and longer version once again.
All right. Doc, any follow-up to the Jason Holder thing?
Roger, I understand the things that you have said, but to crystallize what I've been saying, I know it can be long-winded at times, but what I was saying is that do you accept, based on what you've seen here and based on cricket that's being played in Australia right now between India and Australia, do you accept that we need to have a different format of team than the one that's in New Zealand now? That's the easiest way I can put all the stuff I've said earlier.
And Doc, as we always do, as we move forward and approach Australia, you know, as we approach the T20 World Cup, we will try and pick what we think is the best team for those conditions. We have a chance to look at all the players, assess them, and think of what is best for the conditions we will face there.
All right.
And
continue, Roger. Continue.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay. So, any positives at all coming out of the T20 matches that were played against New Zealand? Any positives at all?
Well, I think we can take some heart by the way we were able to rebound in that first game, losing those 5 wickets for very few, and still managing to post a total of in excess of 170. But I tell you something, actually we posted 180. But what I found a bit strange, and I haven't been really that close to the Duckworth Lewis calculation, was that the team batting first posted a total while the game was reduced in the middle of its innings, and the target for the team batting second was less than the total that the team batting first had posted. I've never heard of that, found it very strange. So maybe maybe I'm really not a fan with what's going on, but I find that very, very unusual. Because usually when a team bats first, and the game is reduced in the middle of its innings, right? The target of the team batting second, to my knowledge, is higher than what the team posted. But in this case, it was reduced. We found that very unusual.
Did the West Indies raise it at all at any level? Was that raised, or is this something that you just kept on?
I think the coach has made some has queried it.
Yeah. Okay, queried it. Now, just before we go on to the test match, which, by the way, as I said at the top of the program, starts tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock local time. If you're in Jamaica, it's 5 o'clock. If you're in Guyana or in Barbados or in the Eastern Caribbean, 6 o'clock. You said that Jason Holder, you wanted for him to concentrate on the test matches. Fair enough. But what about Andrew Russell? A lot of people in the Caribbean, in fact, this morning, I went to my office and people were saying, but look, what's the story with him? Because he said that he wanted to get his head cleared and we were expecting him possibly if he was going to be playing to play in New Zealand, but then he ended up playing in Sri Lanka. Are you disappointed that our good friend Mr. Russell didn't make it to New Zealand?
Of course, we would like to have had Andre Russell here, but I think Andre, you know, he has to make the decisions for himself. I can only tell you what, you know, was said and what, you know, we discussed, but at the end of the day, he has to make those decisions, you know, and nothing, I can't make those decisions for him.
But would it have any repercussions, though? I mean, because... Yes, Roger?
Sorry, go on, Andrew.
No, you continue.
You know, I was saying the absence of some players gives other players an opportunity to showcase their skills and also to cement a place in the team. So, you know, you want to see guys really grabbing it. I mean, I look at a fellow like Phillips in the New Zealand team.
Right.
I'm not sure that he would have been playing if Kane Williamson had played, but you know, he sees this opportunity and you're looking for fellas to do just that.
But you would accept the circumstances are completely different. You know, it is my view that we got to take a stand on cricketers. I know that, of course, you got to make your money, Roger, but West Indies cricket made these guys, and we cannot continue, in my view, to have our cricketers just picking and choosing like that. I mean, you know, we miss it. It's almost like, you know, you come from a village and you leave the village and you don't want to come back to your village. Come on, man. These fellas got to do better in our West Indies cricket. And I believe that cricket West Indies must take a stand on this. You know, why is Russell playing in Sri Lanka? Come on, help the West Indies team, man. That made you. It's not right. It's not fair. And I'm getting very emotional about these things. These fellas can do better. They can do better. The West Indies cricket need... I appreciate these fellas got to make a living. But at the same time, Roger, you got to be careful not to have people pick and choose, as the old people say. Your comments on that?
Well, like I said, you know, I think each player would approach it differently and we have to look closer at it going forward.
All right, Doc. Any comment on the Russell thing?
Well, it's deja vu, I would say. It's a problem that's been going on for years, where the more lucrative opportunities are chosen in preference to representing the region. So I think nothing's new. But I believe that it's the stance and the you know the what Cricket West Indies wants to stand for at the moment, and you know we will see how things work out. But Roger, the truth is that you know I'm not understand. I'm just talking about the situation. This is not a reflection of your difficult decisions. Are you disappointed that considering New Zealand was missing some of its top players, the captain, Bolt. We mentioned some of the guys going to play in Australia. And, you know, they were giving some individuals a chance that couldn't have played. Are you disappointed that our team, even though it may not have been our strongest team, wasn't able to compete either with chasing or with... or with setting a score. And also, that being as it may, we bowled 8 wides and 5 no balls in our opportunities to bowl, and our fielding wasn't that good. How are you feeling about the whole outcome of the T20 series?
Well, certainly I expected our T20 team to do a lot better. I thought we had a realistic chance of winning the series. And, you know, we let ourselves down. I thought, especially in that first game, we let an opportunity slip. And then we more or less bowled ourselves out of the second one. You know, so all wrong, we have to play better cricket. On paper, even with some of the guys missing, I think we still have a very powerful batting lineup. You know, but I think we just have to play as well as we can and play smart cricket in the circumstances.
I know that some captains have taken the fall T20 cricket and other formats, but looking at the performance of this team versus the performance of the team under other captains, do you feel that we have a personnel problem or is it a leadership problem? When you look at our results over the last 2 years, we've won less than a third of our matches, and outside of the World Cup spectacle, we don't do well. What do you think is our problem? Is it a personnel problem, or is it a leadership problem, or is it both?
Well, Doc, I think your television was working pretty well. You saw what was happening. I think, as I said earlier, I think our bowlers let us down, you know, in both games. I think at especially at the lower end of the innings, at the towards the death, our execution was poor. And even in the second game, even in the middle of the innings, our six, you know, after 10 overs, I think New Zealand was 84 runs on the board, right? And, you know, at the end of 20, they were 238. They scored 154 runs in the last 10 overs. That's unacceptable.
So are you saying it's a personnel or a leadership problem? Because what I saw is that, especially in the second match, when the carnage started, I saw the captain kind of, you know, like blend in with the rest of the team. He was unable to really, you know, clap his hands at the true.
All right, we seem to have a little bit of a problem there with...
I ask you, Roger.
Okay.
Do we have, considering how the West Indies team has done over the years, even before you were in charge of the selection process, do we have a personnel problem or a leadership problem or both, in your opinion?
I think that our players have to execute their roles efficiently and effectively, Doc. I don't think I wouldn't say that, you know, we lost those games due to tactical blunders. More or less, I think that we failed to execute as we needed to.
Mm-hmm. Doc, the WhatsApp messages are of course coming in. Questions for you, Roger. Someone is asking, what's the situation with Simmons? He's in Sri Lanka.
Andrew, I don't understand these questions being asked again. Simmons, you know, declined the opportunity to tour.
Okay. No, fair enough. All right, fair enough. Now, let's look forward now, Mr. Harper, in relation to the test match which starts tomorrow morning. Are you confident that we'll do well?
Well, I'm very optimistic. Like I said in the past, you know, we will depend a lot on our batting as far as test cricket is concerned. That has been an area where we have not been as consistent and produced the sort of big scores as required. We, however, at this tour, we've had the opportunity to really have a little bit of a camp leading into this test match. We had two warm-up games against the New Zealand A team. You know, the last one was a four-day game played in a proper first-class manner. And it was pleasing to see batsmen getting big scores. We had a century from Darren Bravo in the three-day match. Mm-hmm. And we had, of course, Craig Brathwaite scoring 246. Mm-hmm. You know, and Bravo again making 90-odd. I think all of our top-line batsmen have managed to spend some time in the middle, you know, between the three-day and the four-day game. So they should go into this test match with some confidence and look forward to them replicating this sort of performance in the test match and really putting a big score on the board and giving our bowlers, you know, something to bowl at.
Mm-hmm. Roger, just before we go to the break, you spoke about the batting, which is good, but what about the bowling? I mean, I would be very concerned going into the test matches.